I went on the Birthright trip to Israel with my brother and 40 other random students. And,
oh my God, I went on Birthright.
Oh, you did? You're one of the tribe?
I am one of the tribe.
Oh, good.
Yeah, me too.
Lars isn't. From now on, that's what we're going to talk about in this episode.
Go for it.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to the first podcast.
And our names are?
Oh, well, my name is Eliana. Like, yeah, that would be helpful, right?
Mm-hmm. My name is Lars, and I'm the main host and editor of the first podcast. And
my name's
with
Joe.
Me, regrettably, is Joe.
That's right. Thanks for joining us. My name is Joe, and I'm the co-host. And joining us today, we have a very special guest, Eliana, again. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Okay, awesome. Well, my name's Eliana. I am an actress, singer, dancer, producer of film. Actually, just recently started my own production company and producing my own motion pictures. And I have a Instagram following that I constantly try to inspire and to create. So basically my whole platform for being an artist is to inspire other people around me.
What do you want to inspire people to do?
I think just being an actor is like you see another actor and you're like, wow, I really want to be like that, or I want to be successful like that. So yes, that's part of it. But also just being able to really live your life and have a happy, successful life. And doesn't mean successful in like, you know, all the different types of success, whether it's relationships, family. I mean, just really having an awesome life is really what I want to inspire people to have, because I know it's possible.
Well, thank you for putting that message out there. That's a really positive message, something really important for a lot of people to hear. You mentioned that you're an actor. What are some things that you've acted in that maybe some people might know you from? Or
the most recent thing that's come out is on Insatiable. It's a Netflix TV show. I was in one of the episodes of that as a guest star, and that was awesome. So if you guys haven't seen it, Insatiable, I believe it's episode 6. It's called Bikinis and Bitches.
A guest star. That sounds important.
It's important to the episode for sure.
So Insatiable, what's that about? What's kind of the gist of the story?
The gist of the story is it's about this girl who was bullied because she was overweight during school, in high school. And then she finally got, you know, into shape and she's gorgeous. And now she's basically taking revenge on all of the girls and all the guys that ever, you know, did her wrong. And it is hilarious. It's like the funniest show I've seen in a long time.
I really like the synopsis on IMDb for this episode. It says, someone hacks Patty's phone and frames her for cyberbullying. Magnolia has an idea on how to save the day. Brick has a heart-to-heart with his dad.
That means absolutely nothing to me, but I'm sure it means something within the context of the show.
Yeah, it seems like
if you follow the show, you'd get it.
Well, I already know that Brick and his dad have some type of strained relationship, but it's good that they have a heart-to-heart.
Well, everyone knows that, Joe. Well, that's common.
Context clues, you know? Magnolia seems intelligent. They have an idea on how to save the day. I know that much, and I don't even have to watch the episode.
Now, you're classically trained, by the way, as an actor, right? You went to the conservatory?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I went to the New York Conservatory for Dramatic Arts in New York City, and that was the most incredible experience as an actor and as training as I could have possibly asked for. It was amazing.
What was the most unusual thing they go over? Like, I imagine there's some really niche acting tips that you probably will almost never use.
Okay, yeah, so during school, there's two things. One, they made us do like this birthing experience where you had to like lay on the floor, and she shut it off. She shut off all the lights in the room. And then she was like, went through being like an embryo. And then you were like being birthed with twins. We're all like screaming on the floor because it is just kind of crazy because you're like doing it and you're so into it when you're doing it. And then you go out and you're like, people probably thought I was insane just like having that experience, like pretending I was being born. You know?
At least the people around you knew that you were acting. It's not like you were just doing it.
This is for acting though? Like what?
You weren't just doing that like yes, on the sidewalk, I mean, right?
No, but actually we did do something where I went outside and I had another girl propose to me because it was part of one of the homework assignments. And so she proposed to me and the guy was like, oh my God, like this only happens in New York. It was really awesome, actually.
That's funny. So you're in New York.
Yeah, it was really funny. I was in New York. Right now, okay. I'm not. But at the time I was living
for school,
in New York.
Yeah. And right now you're on the East Coast?
Yes, I am. I'm located right now in Miami, Florida, but I go back and forth from LA to Atlanta for work and for auditions.
Seems like a good 50% of our guests are from Miami for no specific reason.
I don't know about 50%, but we do have quite a few who happen to be from Miami.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you know the Miss Toto? That was another one of our guests from Miami.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I kind of doubt she frequents the Miami drag club scene show.
Maybe, I don't know.
I did go to Tulips. I don't know if she would have been there.
Maybe. By the way, on the topic of being classically trained, what do you think the advantages of that? What, as opposed to just someone, you know, going into Hollywood and just trying their best and, you know, eventually trying to get some gigs, What are the advantages to the training?
Okay, so it's a good question because when I was 15, offered to go to LA and just start. And mm-hmm. I was like, I had the opportunity. Well, no, when I was 18, about when school was starting to go to school or go to LA.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I could go to LA now and have a head start or I could go get training. And I was just like, I'm going to go get training. And literally it was the best thing that I ever did for myself because I feel like it put me not like it's like ahead of anybody else. I don't believe like you're ahead of anybody mm-hmm. else, but I believe that it put me in a place of really understanding the craft of acting, really understanding the material, really understanding who I'm playing. I mean, just to a whole nother level that it's really hard to get if you're not training consistently. And you can do it, but it's different. Like if you're going to an acting conservatory and you're going from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and all you do is act all day, I mean, it's very different than going to a workshop once a week for 3 hours. You know, it's like go, go, go.
So you would say that it's probably a good thing for someone to do if they have the opportunity?
Oh, yeah. 1,000%. If they had the opportunity to go to an awesome school, go to the awesome school because the acting world, the acting opportunities will always be there. And they will always come. So just how well prepared are you going to be when you get the opportunity to audition for the job?
Oh, are you asking me? Because I'm not an actor, but
no, I don't think she's asking you, Lars. I think she's posing.
General
question.
I'm like, yeah.
It's like luck is when opportunity meets talent. Or opportunity meets preparation. It's basically
preparation, Joe.
What you're saying, Eliana?
Yes. I totally believe that. And I totally believe, like, you know, you make your own opportunity, too.
Mm-hmm. So I did notice that you're in an upcoming production, the name of which escapes me right now, but it's a Game of Thrones parody, and that's supposed to release this year, right? Can you talk a little bit about your role in that?
So we actually filmed it in London, a place called Kent, in England. Mm-hmm. And this place is like this cute little town, city where there's a castle and it's called the Leeds Castle. So inside there, I was casted as, one of the people that were in the movie as a supporting role. So I'm throughout the whole movie. Mm-hmm. And the movie basically follows exactly the same storyline, well, pretty much, as Game of Thrones. And I play, it's hilarious, but the Kardashians make a special appearance in this movie, and I play Khloe Kardashian.
Well, that's really nice.
House Kardashian. That's interesting. Isn't Lou Ferrigno in that movie?
He is in the movie, and he's super nice. I got to meet him, and I got to talk to him, and all that stuff.
Who is that?
Lou Ferrigno.
He used to be this huge bodybuilder. Now he kind of makes like cameo-ish appearances. Did you ever see I Love You, Man?
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. He does look familiar. I just can't remember what I've seen him from.
Lou Ferrigno was the original Incredible Hulk, I believe.
Kind of back in the day.
Oh, yeah, he does kind of look like the Incredible Hulk from back in the day. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because he's ripped, so...
Yeah. I'm actually on his Wikipedia right now, which has made me quite the expert in all things Lou Ferrigno. For instance, he has 3 children. He's been active since 1971, which is good.
So, are any of these facts about our guest?
No.
Because otherwise, I think we should move
on. No, let's move on.
Yeah, please. Do you have any other big productions that you're working on right now that you'd like a chance to talk about or to plug or...
Well, you know what? There is a big production that I just recently did, actually, with my own production company, Emmy Pictures. Mm-hmm. We actually just did this video that literally took 4 months to create from beginning to end, you know, from finding locations to everything. And we just released that yesterday, and it almost has 500,000 views on, wow. On Facebook. It actually is at like, I think 430, 440 right now. So that's like pretty big for us, especially since it's the first thing that we've done. Oh,
that was the dance video
as a production company
that you, yes.
Yes. It's like a movie that's a music video with dance. It's more of like, a short film that has dance incorporated into it.
Mm-hmm. 500,000 views in one day. That's a lot. Like you guys have a lot of traction already. That's pretty cool.
That is really impressive in one day.
Thank you. Thank you.
You mentioned that you had a production company yourself, by the way, and you said that you just changed the name of it to Emmy Pictures, and Joe and I were probably going to ask you some questions about that. And I've been asking most of the questions, so I'm going to turn it over to Joe.
Well, I mean, where to start? It must be quite a lot of work to own your own and to start and to operate your own production company. What is your role in the company?
Yes, we do. We have some people like that we go to that we get help from. But basically, I'm co-owner with my husband, who's also part of the ownership of the company. And basically, what I do is I create the content like any kind of producer would do it at this stage in the game until I start getting more people under the company. Mm-hmm. You know, we create the content and then we figure out, okay, well, how are we going to make this work? Who do we need in the video? I mean, who do we need to hire or who do we need to do sound or who do we need to do the camera and costume? So it's basically you are facilitating this entire thing and you're trying to figure out, okay, what do you need and what are the pieces you need to get whatever you're trying to do to work.
Mm-hmm. And you're working for a client who's hiring you to make the production?
No, that is true. I mean, for this video that we did, that was our baby. Mm-hmm. So, we also danced with a company, called MJ Latin Fusion with Mario Che and Jet Fialo. And she and he are amazing dancers. And so we thought this would be an awesome opportunity to create this really inspiring video with them. So then we collaborated with them to create what we did.
Is this kind of what you're going for in general, is dancing related material? Or is that just kind of your first foray into production?
Yeah, no, it was just really our first thing that we did. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really, for me, I am like an actor first, and that's where all my, you know, all my passion, well, not all my passion, but most of my passion comes from is being an actor. So any way that I can tell a story, and if it's through dance, it's through dance, but eventually I want to be creating my own, you know, major motion picture. Like that's the goal with this company, you know.
Mm. What kind of motion pictures would you like to make? The comedies or biographies, or what do you want to get into with that?
I love comedies. However, I think that I would stick more in the drama, you know, route and still be open to do other things and still do, you know, the comedy. I feel like you need to have a good balance when you're creating content, because if you're going to release something that's like really dramatic and then you release another thing that's really dramatic, people are like, come on, like, where's the funny stuff, you know?
Yeah. Kind of wanted to ask you a question about how you got into all this in the beginning, because it seems like such a deliberate career choice, and I'm always kind of curious how people land on acting specifically. How did that get started?
Okay, so I grew up as my parents were doctors, so we did a lot of traveling around the world. So I lived in Africa, Belize, Mexico, and Israel.
Wow.
Where in Israel did you live?
I lived in, oh my God, what was that? It was overlooking the Sea of Galilee. It was called Tzfat.
Oh, I've been to Tzfat.
Oh, really?
Where in Tzfat?
I think that place is so cool. I don't remember exactly where, but it overlooks the Sea of Galilee is where we lived.
Was it on a hill or was it at the base of the city?
It was on a hill.
Did you go up a steep hill, and then it's the part where it turns into like the top of the hill, but there's a village there with the shops?
Yeah. Yes. And then you go past the village with the shops.
That's so cool. Yeah, I know exactly where that is.
He's actually there now.
Oh my God.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I went on the Birthright trip to Israel with my brother and 40 other random students. And,
oh my God, I went on Birthright.
Oh, you did? You're one of the tribe?
I am one of the tribe.
Oh, good. Yeah, me too. Lars isn't. From now on, that's what we're going to talk about in this episode.
Go for it.
No, I'm just kidding. I mean, we can touch on that, but or not. It doesn't matter. But yeah, no, I know exactly where that is. Me and my brother were there. We went through the... Did you see... what's that guy's name who tells you about his paintings of the Tree of Life and stuff?
Oh my God, yes. What was it? Oh my God, he's so cool. Yaakov, I don't remember his name though. Yaakov. That's what it was. It was Yaakov.
That's it.
Oh my God, that's so awesome.
Oh, that's so funny.
You were actually talking about something else though before Joe completely derailed that.
Your parents were doctors and you lived in these different places?
Yeah, so we lived in these different places, and then when we were living in Belize, it was like a totally isolated peninsula on the wherever. It was like if you ever seen the show Lost, that's how it felt when we were living there.
Did you have any weird smoke monsters or anything, or any unexplained...
Oh my God, yes, there were monsters everywhere.
How old were you at the time?
I was 15. Oh, okay. At that time, or a little early. I was, or maybe like 13 or 14 probably, is when I lived there.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I was there, we saw a lot of Harry Potter. This is going to be hilarious, like the craziest thing ever.
Sure.
But we saw Harry Potter. I mean, that's around the time, you know, when I was, you know, watching it, or a little earlier. And I was like, I want to be in that world. I want to be in a magical world. And I was like, I want to be an actor, you know, like seriously, that's how it started. And it's like, it's crazy that's how it started. But then it turned into something completely different, because you think, oh, you want to be an actor and acting's about this. And then you go train, you go to school, and you're like, okay, acting's not about that at all. It's about way different. It's completely. And then I fell in love with the career and the craft and just everything about it.
What did you find out acting was really all about?
I really found out that it was about really being able to understand people and the human mind and how it thinks and how it operates based on what has happened in the past. So like your relationships, your circumstances, everything, how you think just happens because things happen to you. And then on top of that, it's just like, it makes you so present, because when you're acting in a scene and you're with another actor, there's no way you can't be anything but present, because if you're not, then you totally lose. You totally lose the scene.
You ever start daydreaming on set?
Like daydreaming?
While, yeah, like while you're recording, and then you're just like, line. Or no, because that would be really unprofessional.
Right. No, I actually haven't done that. I think it's because my mind's in hyper mode when I'm like, it's totally focused. I mean, in the past, I would say, yeah, that's totally happened. I mean, of course you forget your lines, but then it's just like, oh, well, then you remember them. You know, it's not really a big deal when you forget them, as long as you, you get back on track pretty quickly. Mm-hmm.
Do people ever like really mess up badly and then the director gets like really pissed off and they're blacklisted and they can never work in this town again?
Oh my gosh, yes. I haven't witnessed a blacklisting, but I, when I was on set with game, Purge of Kingdoms, this was not written in the set, but the guy that plays the king, who is also was in Braveheart a long time ago, he's hilarious and he's an incredible actor, just like totally Tom incredible. Cruise.
Mel Gibson?
No.
I don't know. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Angus McFadden, I think that's how you say his name, Angus McFadden. But he, there was a scene where we were all at the dinner table, and I don't even know if this is going to make it into the final like cut. But he just decided all the food wasn't real, you know, because it wasn't supposed to be real. And he just starts going off the lines and he starts saying, "This food isn't real. It's all just fake anyway. So you all just eat the fake food." And he starts throwing it in a fake piece of turkey leg hits the kid. It's one of the kids in the face. And I'm just like, oh, my God. But it was hilarious. And everyone thought it was like the funniest thing ever.
That's funny. I mean, that's like breaking the fourth wall, though. Like, isn't the audience supposed to think that the food is real?
Well, it's a parody, so, I mean, there's some room for that, I think.
Yeah. Well, actually, as the audience, you were supposed to think that the food was real, but he made a comment that it wasn't real, mm-hmm. and it just made it hysterical. And I don't know if they're going to use it or not, but that's just like a little fun fact about the movie.
I hear some directors are more cool with that and some are not. Like, some people are fine with some improvisation if it's funny, but some really don't appreciate it.
Right. You really have to know who you're working for, you know?
Mm-hmm. You ever see anybody else who's like maybe really full of themselves and they're like arguing with the director like, "No, it should be this way." Or like anything like that? Or is that like people usually don't do that, I assume?
I'm sure there's people that do that. However, I haven't witnessed that. I've always witnessed high professionalism.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I've heard stories, you know, I've heard things like that happening and then people not wanting to work with them again.
Makes sense.
But definitely it happens.
I kind of noticed that in the media, it seems like they tend to paint a lot of actors as all just being divas. But when we've actually talked to actors on this show, they kind of give a different story. It seems like they're always saying that, oh, no, you know, this person was really nice and things went really smoothly. And, you know,
what are they going to do? Come on our podcast? Oh, yeah, everyone's an asshole, including myself.
Well, I mean, like, they could. I'd want people to be honest. I don't know.
I know, but they're like, Lars, you can't expect people to, I don't know. It seems pretty obvious that people aren't going to like talk shit on specific people that they know or like. I don't know.
Well, sometimes they do. You're right. Let's move on. That's fine.
Yeah. So you were in a music video, at least one that I've found.
Yes.
That's the one she was talking about earlier. Yeah.
Oh, you were talking.
Oh, no, that's a different one. Oh, this is a different one.
This one has 92 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
By Camila Cabello. Beautiful.
Yes. Yes. That was such a fun, and let me tell you, talking about people, celebrities who, you know, you're saying if they're the rude, if they're not rude, Camila Cabello and Bozzy are literally the nicest celebrities that I've ever had the privilege of working for. I mean,
that's nice.
That set we got hired to do, like, she literally went to everyone, all of us that were dancers and that were actors, and she's like, you know, thank you so much. And Bozzy was like, thank you so much. And the directors and the producers, everyone was awesome. And I was like, wow, this is what a production set should be like, you know?
Mm-hmm. By the way, that one music video has 55,000% more views than this show has ever had listens. Just for perspective, that's a staggering amount. Is that Facebook listens or YouTube or?
You mean Camila Cabello's music video?
Yeah, that's YouTube. It has 92,396,592.
Yeah, that's
incredible.
YouTube.
Wow.
Which is, like you said,
55,000 times bigger than
Actually, 56,000 times.
Ah, okay. So, Eliana, is there anything that we've kind of glazed over that you want to talk about more, or any projects in particular that we haven't brought up yet that you want to draw some attention to? Or this is kind of, the floor is yours here to talk about whatever you want.
Well, I mean, I'm upcoming. I'm in three more projects. However, I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about it, but
okay,
there are three upcoming projects that I am doing. And besides that, really the thing that I'm working on right now is just this this creation of our production company, and doing all of that really is what is happening in the works at this current moment. You never know. You could be auditioning like 100 times a week, and then you could be auditioning once a week and then be doing your own thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Joe, is there anything else we want to fire at her before we kind of, do you want to do some segments or anything? What do you want to do?
Well, I think that maybe some kind of hypothetical question might be in order.
Sure. Okay. So one of our traditions on the show is to throw at least one or two, maybe hypothetical questions at the guest.
Just if
kind
not
of cap
six
things
or
off.
Seven, maybe like 20, 21 hypothetical questions, and maybe like 100 or so.
You know, this isn't meant to be super serious. Like, you don't have to think about it too in depth. These are just...
But you should answer as if your life depended on it.
Oh, yeah, please answer all questions. We should have specified that at the beginning of the episode, actually.
We should, but okay, it's fine. We cross that bridge now.
Yeah. So, Joe, go ahead and toss one at her.
Oh, I'm not good on the spot.
Nope.
We'll start with like a warm-up question. Like, what would you want your superpower to be? Like your superhero power?
Useless superhero power.
That is. Well, I was just going to, like, we could do that one too.
No, what would you want your useless superpower?
That's fine. I was going to do like a quick warm-up and then.
My useless superpower would be. Oh my God, this is a tough question. Maybe to be able to just like, but what is useless? I mean, like,
right, so
isn't everything.
Let me set some parameters to, and maybe it'll make it a little easier.
Sure.
So a useless superpower is something that can technically maybe qualify as like supernatural, like time travel or something like that. But the useless part implies that it cannot help you in any real significant way. So maybe you can only time travel 1 second into the past or
present, or maybe
you can fly.
Manufacture $1 per day and have it be real.
Yeah. Yeah. Can fly, but only as high as you could normally jump for as long as you could normally jump.
I was going to say that. Okay. So I've got to pick something else.
Oh, yeah.
I think like if I could, my useless superpower would be like, if I'm hungry and I want another cookie, I can make another cookie, but then it would disintegrate in my hand.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, so you, the ability to torture yourself with a cookie that you can't eat?
The ability make a cookie and like, so is this cookie like instantly appearing in your hand, but it's like powder basically, like it disintegrates?
Exactly. Like it's just a mirage. It like looks like the most delicious cookie you're ever going to eat. And then it just disappears and turns into sand.
That is truly useless.
What about you can generate a glass of water whenever you're really thirsty, but you can drink it, but it won't hydrate you and you won't be refreshed.
That would suck.
At least you, it's better than nothing. Maybe.
Okay. Wait. You know what? I'm going to disqualify both of those answers though. Actually, I have to, cause I just realized something. I feel like you could take those shows on the road.
Ooh.
The ability to, even if you couldn't eat the cookie, you could make one appear. That's wizardry. So technically,
that's true.
No, that could be really useful. I think we need different ones, Joe. And it's the glass of water one too.
Okay, well, what if like the superpower is like you have the ability to be able to turn off your computer, but you can only do it by pressing the button.
Or the ability to read your own mind.
Yeah, I think a slightly different version of the computer one is like the ability to turn off your computer like a half second before your finger hits the button, like because it's like it doesn't really help you at all and there's no real way to like make any money off of it. So
what about the ability to avoid all loading screens and wait times for the whole day on your phone but you have to, when you wake up, you have to do the wait times.
And oh, so you just have to getting put off all the loading times in your life?
That's yeah, a good you're one. Getting them out of the way in the morning when you wake up. Like, you have to sit there for, like, maybe 30, 40 minutes, but then later you don't have to. Then it loads instantly for the rest of the day.
I don't know, because you could, like, literally turn it on when you're still half asleep, right? Yeah.
Ooh, she just called you out, Joe.
No, Did you I? Have to be fully cognizant. You have to have your cup of coffee already.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
that sucks.
That was kind of an amusing high note. If you guys want to go out on that, if you want to get to the point where we give out social media information and plug anything else, do you want to do that, Joe? And Eliana?
Yeah, we can do that. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
Either of you guys?
Well, I've got lots of stuff I want to talk about, but we can do that privately, you know, on our own time.
I just had a question for you, Lars. Maybe this isn't a good time, but I was reading about this VPN software. Have you heard of NordVPN?
I have.
NordVPN seems really interesting.
Yeah, especially because they're our sponsor that we have to plug.
They are our sponsor that we have to plug, but... Separate from that, Lars, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about NordVPN?
Why? I did it last time. You can do it.
Oh, okay. So NordVPN is going to protect you from the government. It's going to protect you from your internet service provider. It's going to protect you from your neighbor and hackers. You should get NordVPN.
This is the most limp, like, delivery of all time. You got to actually sell the product, Joe. I'll do it. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So... Joe, you know, once in a while, you'll go on a website, maybe YouTube, you'll check out a video or something, or you'll go on like a channel for some foreign country or something, or just, you know, anything. And it says like, oh, this has been blocked in your country. Like you can't access stuff that's from like the UK or something like that. Doesn't that piss you off?
Well, that really grinds my gears.
What if there was a way that you could mask your IP so that you could go on any website you wanted to at any time?
Oh, that'd be nice.
That would be nice. One of the things that NordVPN does is it offers IP masking so that the websites that you visit and your ISP and other observant eyes cannot determine where you're coming from. So that means you can gain access to all different countries' content. You can also use it to close up the security flaws when you're traveling. So if you activate NordVPN at the airports or at Starbucks or wherever.
That's a good one. A lot of people use networks over the airport. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I connect to those shared networks.
Yeah, they're a little sketchy. You don't know what's going on with them. Are they mining your data? What are they doing? And that's a good way to get around it. There's a lot of different things that people might want to use a VPN for. And I highly recommend going to nord.t1podcast.com to find out more about them.
nord.t1podcast.com.
The price for that every month starts at only $4 per month.
Did you say $400 a month? Well, that seems kind
of
steep.
Of course I didn't say that. I said $4. And
only four?
Yeah. Anyway, if you use the code THEFIRSTPODCAST at checkout, that's first spelled out, not the number, you can get 75% off your first order. Make sure to tell them we sent you. And that's at Nord.
75% off?
You don't have to fake that you're surprised every time, Joe. That's nord.t1podcast.com. Thank me later.
Nord.t1podcast.com.
Anyway, moving on from that blatant nonsense. Eliana,
sorry,
if people wanted to follow you on social media or check out some of your projects, how would they go about doing that?
Okay, so to follow me on my social media on Instagram, it's Eliana Gen. So Eliana Gen is Ghen. So normally I come up like that, or sometimes you have to put Eliana _ Gen.
Okay.
I mean, they can look me up on IMDb, and usually I have everything posted through my Instagram. So if I have a new YouTube video that I'm going to send out, sure, I'll post it through my Instagram. Or if I'm going to have a new Facebook video come out, I post it through my Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really how the best way to reach me, the best way to see what I'm doing is through Instagram for sure.
And just to remind the audience, you were in a Netflix show. Can you remind them which one that was and what's the episode they can check out?
Yes, I was in the Netflix show Insatiable, and episode, I believe it's episode 6, and it's called Bikini and Bitches.
All right.
And then the Game of Thrones parody is coming out in April.
Okay.
April the 1st, I believe it's coming out. So it should be Netflix as well. All right. But that might be changed. It just depends.
If you like Game of Thrones and you like comedy, that might be of interest to you this April. Likewise, let's go ahead and give out our links, Joe.
So basically, the link that has everything is t1podcast.com. If you do want to follow us on Instagram, it's t1podcast. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's T1 Podcast. If you want to donate to our Patreon, it's patreon.com/T1Podcast. If you want to send us an email, it's actually firstpodcastever@gmail.com. So whoever has T1Podcast@gmail.com, you beat us to it, and that's fair and square.
Jerk.
And we're not bitter about it, but
yeah, we're not bitter about it at all. That's the one thing that's not T1 Podcast, but you know.
I need to calm down for a second.
Slow down there, Joe. Just relax.
Excuse me. Sorry about that. All right, I'm better. And just that was awful. Don't use that.